doesn't accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Battaglia. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, I think we're all ecstatic to have Edward Henry as our featured guest today. Edward has been doing completely sensational work. He and John Rappaport have been among the two who have been outstanding in dissecting what's going on with the fake pandemic, the reclassification of the flu as cases of COVID, and other diabolical measures that have been taken. Edward, I believe I first encountered you way back when in relation to 9/11, where you very discerningly identified the public transportation statistics having records that showed that Flight 11, the North Tower, and Flight 77, the Pentagon, were not even in the air that day. I was impressed. I've used your discoveries many times in my presentations on 9/11. Where I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth back in late December of 2005, and where it took off like a rocket. We're simply overjoyed to have you here today, Edward. Welcome to the event.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Are you able to hear me?
Well, we can't hear you, but we cannot see your visage. If that's your preference, that's just fine. But we would like to see you if we can. Meanwhile, Scorpio, would you like to begin with some questions for Ed Henry?
Well, sure, yes. Ed, great to talk with you again. And I think I'd like to kick things off to get your take on this very odd war going on in Ukraine. There's so many strange things about it, most notably the timing. It just happens to pop up. At the very moment that the whole COVID hoax narrative is sort of unraveling like a cheap sweater. And I'm just would like to get your take on what do you think is really going on there and its implications towards the Great Reset, because so many of the things happening as the result of this so-called war are really feeding directly into the goals and aims of the Great Reset.
Yeah, what's going on in Ukraine is somewhat puzzling to me, because when you look at the people that are reporting on the ground, what they're reporting is completely at odds with what we get from the mainstream media. And the successes of the Russian military are somehow being downplayed, and apparently the Ukrainians are being portrayed as freedom fighters and so forth, but they have played down the persecution in the Donbas region. It's kind of puzzling to me what's going on there. And because it's so difficult to get to the truth as to what's going on. I mean, it's very strange to have what I have seen
with the Ukrainian army attacking its own people, bombing its own cities. It's very strange. This whole thing's very strange. I don't quite understand what's going on.
Well, it's classic.
Well, I'll just briefly jump in. I agree. I think that's a very good stance. It's hard to have an exact knowledge of what's going on, and I think it's a dangerous thing to think you know exactly what's going on, because I think there's a lot of different levels happening. And another very strange element here is we have this sort of Jewish element happening, in which we have, essentially all the top positions in the Ukrainian government occupied by dual citizen, essentially Jews. And then we have this so-called neo-Nazi force, the Azov fighting forces that are supposedly neo-Nazis, but here they are actually fighting for Ukraine's right to join NATO and to join the UN and thus join the Kalergi plan. So none of this really adds up very well on its face.
Well, understand this. Just because you're dealing with Nazis does not mean you are not dealing with Zionists. If you look at the history of Nazi Germany, Hitler and the Nazis were Zionists. They worked closely with Zionists. I refer you to a book called The Transfer Agreements, where there were secret agreements, which are not so secret anymore, between the Jewish Zionists and the Nazis. And the whole concept was the final solution was not the extermination of the Jews. It was driving the Jews out of Western Europe into Israel. And that was the plan worked out with the Zionists. And they only wanted those that had the money and the skills that could help create Jewish hegemony in Palestine at the time. And so they were given safe passage to Israel, and the persecution was a way of driving the Jews out of Western Europe, where they were quite comfortable. They didn't want to go to a desert country, okay, where they had all the luxury and privileges in Western Europe. Why would they want to leave? Well, guess what? Let's turn up the heat a little bit and drive them out with persecution by the Nazis. And that was the whole plan. It was worked out behind the scenes with the Zionists. So it is not really a disconnect to find that a Jewish influence in Ukraine and paralleling what they call neo-Nazis.
Very, very good point. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
It's great to have Edward Henry back on the show, and it's an honor to be able to wrap up on Rev Radio. This is our penultimate appearance. Next Wednesday will be the final appearance. And just want to say how much I admire Edward. And that is a little mentioned point, Edward, but vital, that, you know, Hitler and the National Socialists were very much dealing up front or ethically with the English bankers and the other Zionists, and they were really betrayed, because Hitler was a big fan of France, a big fan of England. They thought they were all European brothers, but the Synagogue of Satan didn't see it that way and ultimately recruited the communist infiltrated Soviet Union, the banker-controlled United States and the other countries of Europe to literally wage war against Germany and its economic freedom strategy on behalf of the globalist Rothschild banking empire. And if people understood that, they would see exactly what's going on today, don't you think, Edward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if and by the way, our ability to even talk about this is coming into question now, because there are laws being passed. I just heard the other day that they've passed a law in, I think it was Iowa, where if you call into question the Holocaust, or you point out the Jewish influence in the media, that is considered anti-Semitism, which is against the law. They have similar laws in Europe, okay, where in some European countries you cannot – I mean, you'd be thrown in jail to question the Holocaust. So if you really want to know
who's in control. Just look at who you're not allowed to criticize, and that will tell you who's running the show.
As Voltaire observed, absolutely right. Scorpio.
Well, yes, that's a great point, Ed. And then you have to wonder, well, why is that? I mean, why can you actually go to jail for questioning the Holocaust? If it's this real event, certainly it would stand up to scrutiny. And, of course, we're seeing what the end game is, you know, really worldwide, which is the stamping out of free speech. And I think it's so important for everyone listening, you know, to realize that, you know, free speech is an absolute. And it's not a right. Free speech is not a right. It is a duty. That was something that was pointed out by Daryl Wayne, and I think he's exactly right. And either you have free speech or you don't. It's sort of like being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. There's no in-between. And the concept of hate speech is simply in the eye of the beholder. And, of course, those in power will be the ones who determine what hate speech is.
Why in the world would Iowa be the four in the vanguard here? That's bewildering to me. Since I've been publishing of late about the Holocaust, a wonderful piece about Nick Kohlerstrom's brilliant book, Breaking the Spell, for which I was honored to author the foreword, I find all this profoundly disturbing. The American people are entitled to know the truth about World War II just as much as they're entitled to the truth about JFK 9/11. And a host of other issues, including the pandemic, where you have been so able in dissecting the propaganda, Ed. We just love your work.
Well, why Iowa? You know, they typically, when they want a model legislation, they will slip it in somewhere and then use that as the model for other states. So, you know, that's a good question. I don't know why they chose that state. But, you know, this is the type of thing that's going to happen. If you peel back the curtain and you look at the man behind the curtain, that's who you're going to find. You're going to find Zionist Jews running this show. The COVID-19 thing, scam, all the way down. They're going to have to show themselves when it gets close to their ultimate goal. We see that with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And, you know, that guy, I mean, he's like a villain from Central Casting. It's really unbelievable. How did they pick that guy? I mean, he just drools evil.
He does, and he is. You're 100% correct. But he has this kind of grandfatherly appearance, and he's regarded as an authority, which is just what they want, an authority to promote a malevolent agenda. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
That is a great point, Edward. And before we move on further, I've got your website on the screen. Would you like to tell everybody how they can follow your work and support it at Great Mountain Publishing?
Yeah, it's a blog, and I put what I think are newsworthy things on the blog. And so the most recent one, as you'll see there, is Dr. Fauci's statements that he made in, I believe, March of 2020, actually prior to the vaccines being authorized. And the point he made in his statement, and there's a video, it's a very short video, and he said that basically before the vaccines were authorized, he knew, okay, that they would be likely ineffective and dangerous. Now, he didn't say those words, okay, but if you listen to what he's saying, he knew very well that you'd have what we call ADE, adverse, vaccine-associated enhanced disease, okay?
Right.
So basically, you have a person suffering from the vaccine. That is, so you get the vaccine, and it's an antibody-dependent enhancement. So the antibodies then respond to the vaccine, and you get these adverse events from the vaccine. And so what they're calling breakthrough cases now, what they label as breakthrough cases, are not really breakthrough cases at all. They're antibody-dependent enhancement caused by the vaccine, which when the person is hospitalized, they test positive for COVID, but it's actually a result of the illness is the result of the vaccine. And my point in that article is that this is something that was foreseen, and it's something that he actually predicted. And it was one of the dangers that they were concerned about with these vaccines. Now, he was talking hypothetically, and he was discussing the dangers for any vaccine, which is why they did the testing. But the what is not revealed in that video, because it didn't surface until they did the testing, is that, in fact, antibody-dependent enhancement was manifested during the testing. And what we're seeing is what they knew would happen. They knew that people would get sick. And right now, as we speak, the UK, which has kept pretty accurate records of what they call their breakthrough infections, and right now, 9 out of 10 people who are dying in the UK from what they call COVID-19, okay, are fully vaccinated. Right. Or I shouldn't say fully, are vaccinated, okay? Because what is considered fully vaccinated changes, all right? So now I think we're up to 2 boosters, okay, 2 shots and 2 boosters. And in some instances, just having the first 2 shots is not sufficient to be fully vaccinated. But let's just clear it up. So any people who've received the vaccine, 9 out of 10 of those who die that are labeled with having died from COVID-19 have been vaccinated. That's amazing when you stop and reflect on that. The vaccines are actually causing the death. And what they're doing is just because they test positive for COVID-19, that doesn't mean anything. Okay. The issue is they've been vaccinated and now they're dying. And they're dying from the adverse events caused by the vaccine, which is being falsely labeled as COVID-19. This concept of COVID-19 being caused by a virus is simply mythology. The COVID-19 virus has never been isolated, as that term has traditionally been used in scientific circles. Okay, they claim it's been isolated, but when you look at what they've done, it is not isolation, as has been commonly described under Koch's theorem. Okay, it has not been isolated. So this COVID-19 is a myth, and they're vaccinating people, okay, with an mRNA vaccine, which causes their own body to create a spike protein that the body then responds to. Well, if your body is creating the very thing that your immune system is supposed to respond to, that's an autoimmune disease. That's an autoimmune disease. So this vaccine is actually causing an autoimmune disease in people. And that's why you have people dropping dead or coming down with these serious illnesses and hospitalizations. I just saw a video, I think it was just this morning, of an airline pilot, okay, and he suffered a cardiac arrest after he landed the plane, and he attributes it to the mandated vaccine that he was forced to get. And right now, his career as a pilot is done. He's done. He can't fly a plane. Okay. So all because he was mandated to get that vaccine, and now he has a lifelong illness. And the thing is, the incidence of myocarditis with this vaccine, myocarditis is something that does not go away. So having a little bit of myocarditis is like being a little bit pregnant. myocarditis is permanent. Okay. Your heart muscle cannot repair itself. The two organs that cannot repair themselves are your brain and your heart. So the heart damage, this myocarditis,
that, by the way, is becoming an epidemic among the youth from this vaccine is irreparable. And in fact, it is so serious that 50% of people with myocarditis die within 5 years and 20% die within 2 years. Myocarditis is not some little owie that'll get you'll get better from. No, this is very serious. And by the way, they know there's a danger of myocarditis, and myocarditis will affect those with the healthiest hearts. Why? Because the heart is most efficient in pumping through the mRNA, mRNA that would then attach to the capillaries. So this whole COVID vaccine is basically a bioweapon.
Well, I think we agree 100%, Edward. You outlined that so very clearly and precisely. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And Ed, you know, I really appreciate your thinking and your research, because you always seem to, you know, come to such brilliant conclusions in your research. And, you know, here's sort of a strange paradox that I'm seeing. There's no question that this vaccine, it's not really a vaccine. It's, you can call it a lot of different things. It's a mRNA attempt to alter human genetics. It's a clot shot. It's an intentional way to make people ill and give them a slow kill, slow enough so that they have plausible deniability about what's really going on. But here's the paradox I'm seeing. All over Southern California and even other parts of the country, I was recently in Georgia and Alabama, I'm seeing construction of massive apartment buildings. I mean, huge complexes. And so the paradox is, you know, a lot of people in the West are certainly going to be making an early exit from this mortal plane. But it seems to me that they have plans to actually bring in a new crop of people, let's say. And, you know, when you look at the fact that Africa has maybe 5 to 10% vaccination rates, it seems like we're looking at a repopulation rather than a depopulation, sort of a shifting of the demographics of not only the United States and the Western world, but maybe of the planet. What are your thoughts on that? Those kind of thoughts?
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, what's going on? I mean, you know, you combine with what you just said with what's going on at the border. Yeah, they're trying to change the demographics of the United States. Sure. You know, once they hit a tipping point with the demographics, the Democratic Party, which are basically socialists, will have an iron grip on power. And that's what they want. It apparently is not enough for them to rig the elections, which they clearly have. You know, they want political hegemony in the population. And so, for example, it's a very high percentage, but the people coming over the border, a very high percentage will vote Democratic. And they know that. Okay, rather than discuss the socioeconomic reasons for that, you know, when the government becomes socialist and the government hands out money, you're going to have people clamoring to get that money. And that's what has happened and why people are flooding across the border. Okay,
yes.
Because they get all of the handouts from the federal government and states, and it's almost, and there are all kinds of NGOs, many of which are run by the Roman Catholic Church, that almost act as an underground railroad giving support to these illegal aliens.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, then you have the major corporations essentially hiring illegal aliens left and right, and there's no enforcement of these laws whatsoever. For the most part, it's all just a show. And of course, as you point out, the government is turning socialist, and that's true. But of course, socialism is really just a gateway drug to communism, and that's what we're looking at, in the end game, essentially, or a new kind of communism, sort of a hybrid version of that. And it's amazing if you watch television, which I rarely do. I don't have one, but when I'm on the road, I'll turn the TV on in the hotel, and you would think by watching commercials that America is majority black. It's really quite incredible.
Scorpio, I think this introduction of equity is the cover for communism. Equity means treating everyone the same and taking away from those who have and giving to those who have not, especially based on race and now gender. Giuseppe.
I think that's a great point, Jim, of using the communist indoctrination and now control of the first world education system for at least 50 years, and this whole idea of destroying the family unit of the extended family, of having a child's priority be the family, their aunts and uncles, their grandparents, their neighborhood, their community. Now everything is be loyal to the state. And so I think that you're just seeing that all play out. I mean, the brilliant Charlotte Isherbeat, who recently passed away after living a long and fruitful life, was warning about this since she was the deputy director of education under Ronald Reagan, that the communists are literally taking over this country's educational system, and they've taken over so much more since then. So, Edward, your thoughts on the toxic, malignant nature of communist education in this country.
Well, I didn't know that Charlotte had died. Sorry to hear that. She was a great woman. And yeah, she actually revealed some of the scam and fraud in the Department of Education. Interesting that Ronald Reagan was elected when the Republican platform was that they were going to close down the Department of Education. Okay, but yet it's stronger than ever now. He never did any such thing. What a fraud he was. Okay, so I mean, think about that. That was on the Republican platform to shut down the Department of Education, and yet he was there for 8 years and nursed it along for those 8 years. Never took step one to get rid of the Department of Education.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jim, you're muted.
We're simply ecstatic to have a guy of the quality of Edward Henry there. He has such intelligence, and he has such an extensive background, both in scientific, historical, but also legal issues, that he's a very productive and important contributor to these issues. Giuseppe, let me return to you to continue our conversation with Edward today.
Well, again, Edward's website, greatmountainpublishing.com. Let me put it back up on the screen. Just a wealth of insights and lucidity and a true gifted independent citizen journalist. And we need way more people exposing truths like Edward does. So, Edward, my question for you is, what do you make of the seamless migration from the globalist propagandists, gaslighting media covering the COVID scamdemic nonstop to all of a sudden, oh my God, the freedom of Ukraine is so important and the Ukraine border is so important, when the living glory hole traitor Biden has turned the U.S. into an open sieve to implement the Kalergi plan of illegal alien invasion in this country, And do you think that this is just a way to continue the indoctrinating fear porn for the average normie? And pretty soon, as we see the demonic Bill Gates already crowing about the next pandemic. So, I mean, clearly they're going to revisit the scamdemic 2.0. Your thoughts on what's coming?
Well, what is one of the Shakespeare's characters say? Busy their giddy minds with foreign quarrels. So when you want to take somebody's eye off the ball, okay, you distract them. Now, I'm not saying Ukraine is purely a distraction, but it most certainly is from the COVID narrative collapsing on them. As you know, it's they're trying to keep the dike from collapsing regarding the dangers of the COVID vaccine. So they were able to keep a lid on the dangerous vaccine that they had during the Spanish flu epidemic, okay, which was caused by a vaccine, okay? And they've been able to conceal it all these years. They figured, oh, they'd have it would be a cakewalk here. Well, the problem is it is getting out into the mainstream. People are understanding. Now, I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, the bottom line is it is collapsing. People are resisting. What they're reporting as to the number of people getting vaccinated in the United States is inflated. The percentages are much lower, and they've been mostly unsuccessful. And I know from people I've talked to with companies and in the government, the number of people requesting exemptions, religious exemptions from the vaccine is much more than they ever planned on. And they have a problem. There is a problem with regard to the exemption requests and people resisting the vaccine mandates. So their narrative is collapsing. In fact, I just read the Wall Street Journal this morning that Johnson & Johnson had to revise their earnings because they're not making as much money on their vaccines as they expected. And this is about making money. I mean, they want to make money and kill you at the same time. So if you look at these vaccine companies, Pfizer in particular, they are buying. They just bought up a company that specializes in medications for myocarditis. What a great scam!
Dominion.
Here they have a vaccine. Well, they call it a vaccine, but it's kind of beyond the scope of what we're talking about today. But it's really a medical device.
I don't know. Why would our
that causes myocarditis? And then here we go. Hey, we have a remedy for that.
I don't know.
So their narrative is kind of collapsing.
I don't know.
How convenient they have something to take it off the headlines, okay, so that people are distracted talking about something else. But they'll use anything.
Yeah, it's really coming around. The house is really looking
yesterday, great. Fox News was broadcasting the libel trial. Who's the actor? I can't remember. The
Sean Penn.
No, not Sean Penn.
Okay.
Who was it? It's some actor.
Johnny Depp.
Played in the.
Oh yeah, Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Depp. And I'm thinking, why is that important? I mean, this is a national news service broadcasting live the testimony of Johnny Depp. How ridiculous!
Yeah.
What is that? Divorce. That's a distraction, is what that is.
About a divorce issue, for crying out loud. You're exactly right. It's mass murder for fun and profit. Scorpio.
Yeah, again, Ed, you're making such great points. And, you know, let's be honest here and clear. This vaccine is the creation of primarily Jews. You know, like it or not, that's really what it comes down to. Remdesivir is created by an Israeli company. So I'm not saying that this conspiracy is entirely Jewish. It certainly has metastasized far beyond that. But when we look at the vaccine and this, the people pushing the pandemic, so-called pandemic, I mean, at the very least, Jews are vastly overrepresented. Let's just say that. So it really is the ultimate business model to kill people and make money at the same time by forcing people to take your product. or at least at this point, they're not quite there yet. But what they're doing is they're having the government buy all the product they can make and use every arm of government control, including celebrities and anybody in show business, to push this toxic injection on people. So it represents a new business model. And I do think the end game is going to be mandatory vaccinations in order to participate in society. We're just not there yet. But as you pointed out, Ed, the narrative is falling apart on so many fronts because it's all based on lies. It's just continuous, you know, vomiting of lies. And, you know, Americans in the world are sort of catching on to the scam. So I guess my question for you, Ed, is what do you see? Like, you know, we've got so many different forces at play here. We've got the truth coming out like, you know, like little leaks in the dam, you know, and they're trying to stick their fingers in the dam to stop it. But it seems to be increasingly difficult to do that. Where do you think this battle goes in terms of truth and versus disinformation and sort of mass mind control that we see being enacted upon humanity?
Well, what a great question. Okay, so understand this, that part of their strategy, of course, is to siphon off opposition into dead ends. And in the intelligence community, they call that a limited hangout. So they will have people who provide important information, okay? But they will then try to spin their remedy in a fashion that in the long run serves the purposes of the Zionist elite. So, example, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has done some excellent work exposing Fauci, okay? So Anthony Fauci is the man's evil, all right? And he has exposed him, and his book, I think, has sold more than 1 million copies. He really did a nice job of deconstructing Anthony Fauci. Well, the problem is Robert Kennedy Jr. is not anti-vaccine. He has explained that he was against mercury in fish. He's not anti-fish. He's against harmful vaccines, but he's not against vaccines. The problem that people have to understand is this whole concept of injecting you with a germ, a virus, allegedly, okay, in order to get the immune system to respond to that injection, that is not science. That's actually a practice that goes back to 1500 BC. The Hindus were doing that. And this guy, Edward Jenner, popularized it in the 1800s, okay? And if you look at Edward Jenner, he was a quack. I mean, this is quackery. So the whole concept of vaccination is quackery. And I have studies where a doctor had a pediatric practice, and in his state, he was allowed to give the parents a choice as to whether to vaccinate it. And so they were allowed to be fully informed, okay? So approximately half of his patients were vaccinated and the other half were not. So he had a good population over about 20-year period where he could monitor the health of the children who were vaccinated versus the health of the children that were unvaccinated. The unvaccinated children were significantly healthier with fewer allergies and fewer maladies than the vaccinated. And when he published his results, now they're seeking at this time to take away his license. They're bringing before the medical board in that state to try to take away his license. Why? Because he is revealing the dirty secret about vaccines. Let me give you another example. Recently, with the COVID lockdowns, okay, parents were not able to bring their children in for well baby visits.
So as a consequence, the children went unvaccinated. Well, guess what happened? The mortality rate for the children dropped significantly. Fewer children were dying, and it was a significant drop. And so it was explained, the only explanation for that was that the children were not being vaccinated. So vaccines do cause the death of children. And what people don't understand, when they go to their pediatrician and they're motivated to get vaccines by their pediatrician actually gets a bounty. And I have an article where I explain they get a bounty for every person in their practice who is vaccinated, every child that's vaccinated, and they have to have a certain percentage of their of the children, and I believe it's right around, it's a little bit more than 60%, okay? So if they have children in their practice, they reach a certain percentage, they get big money. And it comes out to between $40,000 and $80,000 a year. Well, that covers their overhead clearly, okay? So they get a bounty. They are not objective regarding the risk. And by the way, the AMA just passed an ethical rule that says that, and they use the word immunization, okay? But what they mean by that is vaccination, but they don't exactly mean the same thing. And I think that it was the fact that they use the word immunization actually gives a doctor an out. But bottom line is, if a doctor does not recommend immunization, that is an ethical violation. And so the AMA actually has an ethical standard that promotes vaccination. If a doctor disagrees with vaccination, that would be an ethical violation. And these state boards who actually control the licensure of these doctors, they will follow the AMA ethical guidelines in determining whether or not the doctor should lose his license.
Ed, I want to make a couple comments here before I turn to Giuseppe. After 35 years in higher education, you can't impose a graduate seminar on students who haven't taken elementary courses. The American public has no idea that the vaccines are the situation you describe. Bobby Jr. is doing the right thing. He's trying to manage with a public that is semi-illiterate. They have no knowledge of science or medicine. And for you to berate him for a tactic that I judge to be politically effective when yours would not be, though, of course, we welcome it here because we're very sophisticated. We know what's going on, is, in my judgment, a political mistake on your part. I admire you beyond words. But for you to take after Bobby Kennedy when he's admits he's not pro anti-vax, which I believe is indispensable to his credibility, because if he were anti-vax, no one would take him seriously about Fauci. So I think you just missed the boat on this, which occasionally happens, even with brilliant people like you. Giuseppe, your thought.
I think you're both making excellent points, and I think that Kennedy is part of the system, and I think that he understands, much the way my dear friend Dr. Judy Mikovits, when she started out a couple years ago, would say she's not anti-vax, but ultimately she discarded that and now admits that every one of the quaxinations is literally a death jab. And Kennedy, though, can't go there because he's still trying to play in the mainstream. And you're exactly right, Jim, but Edward's exactly right that, he should come out stronger, especially with the genocide that's occurring from the bubonic Jew jab that we are witnessing right now. So I have to agree with both of you.
Yeah. Scorpio, your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I think, Giuseppe just made a good point that you have people that are sort of still within the mainstream, within the system, that can only go so far. So I don't think we should, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think Dr. Robert Malone is another example. He'll go to a certain place, but he can't go all the way. But I think as long as, you know, we don't all have to agree on everything, and we can have many allies as long as we're on the same page when it comes to freedom and not accepting this new system.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just delighted to have Edward here, needless to say. Let me add, I believe, as the Democrats look forward to November, when all the signs are a massive wipeout, they already know how they're going to deal with it. Fauci spilled the beans when he said, we're not done with lockdowns. They're going to introduce a new variant just weeks before. They're going to declare a lockdown and require all mail-in balloting so they can steal the midterm of 2022 just as they did the election of 2020. Edward, would you agree or not?
Well, yeah, I think they're going to try to steal it, absolutely. But I think they're going to rig it. I think they've got it rigged. I you know, right now, for example, in some states, they have 45 days, I believe, to vote. Are you kidding? You know why they do that? Because nobody can be vigilant and watch the polls for 45 straight days. All they need is one day, you know, to stuff the ballot box, one day to throw a switch, one day to hack the computer. So, you know, this concept of having 45 days to vote, I mean, that's just insane. So there are variations of that. I mean, I don't care if it's 15 days. I don't care if it's 10 days. One day. In the old days, it was one day. Okay. Well, now they've opened it up where they can have all kinds of fraud. And with regard to the vaccine, understand this. As far as Robert Kennedy and the others go, they started with this vaccine, objecting to vaccines, not initially because of COVID, but actually it was a response to the autism, the issue over autism. Okay. So if you have a half measure and you think that some vaccines are okay and others are dangerous, how do you do that when you're dealing with something like autism? Right now, I believe we're up to 1 in 40 children end up autistic when 50 years ago, or rather I should go back 60 years ago, it was a rarity, 1 in 10,000. Okay. So I don't know how you can address the autism issue unless you look at, okay, these vaccines themselves, and they fought hard to get the mercury out of the vaccine. Okay, well, they replaced them with other heavy metals. So every vaccine has an adjuvant in it, and that adjuvant is what is used to stimulate the immune system to respond to whatever it is they want it to respond to. Here's the problem. Those vaccines have contaminants in them that are used to grow whatever it is, whatever the dead virus is. Okay. It could be milk. It could be other food additives, oils. When you have an adjuvant that stimulates the immune system, it stimulates the immune system to fight whatever else is in that vaccine. And that's why we have this, these children growing up with all kinds of food allergies. These food allergies are oftentimes caused by these vaccines. Food allergies were something that you didn't have. People are allergic to peanuts? Really? People are allergic to dairy? Really? Well, if you look at these vaccines have those things in them, and the body is stimulated. And so the body is stimulated to fight off those contaminants, which, by the way, causes an allergic reaction. So my point is that you can't fight against vaccines in a half measure, okay? Because let me tell you, this mRNA that we're talking about right now, they're spinning that up. The next thing you're going to have is mRNA flu vaccines. You're going to have mRNA vaccines against mumps, rubella, you name it. Those are all going to become mRNA. And they're going to say, oh, we don't have the dangerous adjuvants anymore. We have mRNA now. We don't have to worry about autism because we're going to use mRNA vaccines. See? So That's
by
the problem.
Way, there's no question
and make
about
no mistake.
Autism. There's a direct correlation between the use of vaccines and the increase in autism. The latest estimates I've seen is that the present rate, half of our children will be autistic by 2050. Scorpio.
Well, no, I think Ed's making some great points. And make no mistake, if you read through the documents of both Bill Gates, foundation, and Gavi and World Economic Forum, it's all very clear that the end game is going to be you have to be vaccinated in order to participate in society. So Ed is right. All vaccines are bad, and especially when you look to the end game, that you will not be able to participate in this coming system without your vaccine. And you will never be fully vaccinated. That's a fluid thing. They're always going to add another element to it. So you will need some kind of injection every year or even biannually. And this is going to be how they're going to control the population. Make no mistake.
Scorpio, I agree with that, and I agree with Edward on the science. And Jenna put a wonderful post that Bobby also is not only pro-vaccine, but global warming and even the whole hoax, all of which is unfortunate. But look at the good he's doing by exposing Fauci. I'm talking politics. Can you get more further with the public by demonizing all vaccines, even though it's impeccable that all vaccines should be harmful? Or by focusing on this massive menace. I agree with everything you're saying. The question is, how can you get the public to change its attitude? Frankly, I just don't think the public has the intellectual capacity to draw such a broad conclusion about all vaccines. And therefore, they're even going to reject the wise counsel to avoid the vax. In this instance, that's how I see it. Giuseppe.
I think that you're absolutely correct in the political arena, Jim. I also.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We
tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we're delighted to have Edward Henry here today, and with Scorpio and Giuseppe on their penultimate appearance here on Revolution Radio with the event. I'm a huge fan of all three with me here today and just simply delighted we're in this situation. Giuseppe, are you there? I do not see you. There we go.
There we go.
Giuseppe, give us further thoughts of yours, Giuseppe.
I would like to get Edward's thoughts because I just really admire his mind and how he uses it. What do you think, Edward, is the intention of this New World Order, the so-called Great Reset? I mean, the globalists are going all in to try and create a one-world government and using medical tyranny, authoritarianism, as their vehicle to control the world's population. Your thoughts on that observation?
Okay, great question. All right, let's talk about the vaccine. All right, so this guy, Professor Yuval Harari, okay, you've probably heard him. He is an advisor to Klaus Schwab. Now, I'm not sure who runs who, okay?
Right.
Harari is a Jewish sodomite. He's married to another man, but he runs around, and apparently the world leaders seem to think he has something important to say. Well, some of the important things he has to say are, in one instance, he made the point that this Great Reset involves surveillance under the skin. Surveillance under the skin. Now, how are they going to get surveillance under the skin? Well, it's not an accident that there are people who have found graphene oxide and graphene hydroxide in these vaccines. In fact, one professor who's one of the foremost world experts on graphene, he ended up killed after he shared his findings, finding graphene hydroxide in these vaccines and what, in fact, it does. And so this idea of surveillance under the skin, what does that mean? Well, I think it goes along with this new 5G rollout, okay? This great reset, the vaccines and this COVID scare is all part of a financial reset. So the love of money is the root of all evil. And I think what we're looking at here is they're going to collapse our present currency market with the fiat currency and bring about a digital currency. Now, what does that mean? Well, with a digital currency, that currency will be identified with the person, and they can control what you buy, when you can buy it, how long the currency is good for. So, for example, you'll get money and you'll only be able to spend it on, let's say, groceries or, something, a kitchen item or something like that. They can actually dictate to you what you can use that money for. They will know exactly how you spend the money. It will not be anonymous as it is with current currency, where you can give somebody a dollar and the government has no idea what transactions are taking place. With the digital currency, they'll know exactly what's happening all the time. This digital currency will go along with being able to surveil you under the skin. And the only way to get under your skin is through these vaccines. And that's why I think it is important for people to understand what is happening with these vaccines. These vaccines are just – this is just the beginning. They're not done with us at all, okay? A lot of this involves conditioning, you know, getting people to wear masks, even though all science shows that the masks are ineffective and unsafe. But they do it nonetheless, okay? And they've captured completely medicine, doctors. And so the doctors are following the dictates of the CDC and, to a lesser extent, the FDA, when, in fact, they're federal agencies, okay? Their job is not to practice medicine. That's what the doctor's for. But the doctors are afraid to offer a protocol for any illness that goes against what the FDA and the CDC and the NIH recommend. We see that in right now with the treatment. They will not prescribe hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Now there's a dispute about whether those are effective and so forth. The bottom line is they are losing their discretion in doing that, and so they're almost forced to offer the like remdesivir, okay, which is nothing but a poison, as a treatment for what they call COVID-19, okay? So this whole thing is a way to gain control over the populace. And if you listen to Harari and you listen to Klaus Schwab and you read what they've written, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at complete surveillance. If you look at what's going on in China right now, that's a test bed. Okay, so what they're doing in China, they want to do in the rest of the world. They're just testing it out. I mean, it's, right now it's almost like a prison camp. Okay, people that are living there are locked in their high-rise apartments, and you can hear them. I've seen videos where you can hear them screaming at night. Solitary confinement will drive somebody out of their minds. I mean, they use that as torture in prisons. And that seems to be the standard protocol in China to fight COVID-19 is solitary confinement.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, and this strategy of zero COVID, of course, it's like chasing the green dragon. You know, it's not going to ever happen. It's an impossible goal, obviously. And so it sets the stage for perpetual tyranny. And I think you're absolutely right, Ed. If you want to see the future, look at China. That is the system they want to unveil for the entire world. And, you know, the idea that China is some rogue player in this whole thing is absurd. So I think it's also absurd that Russia is some kind of rogue player. I think we're seeing a scripted play here being rolled out for the public to sort of, you know, eat up. And China is the future for the world if we sit back and let this happen. And, of course, you know, I have a friend who actually married a woman from China, not a Chinese American, but an actual Chinese woman. And she told my friend when they went to go to China to go visit her parents that, you know, every town has a secret government spy or several, depending on the size of the city, or many, you know. And apparently anyone that starts causing trouble and gets on the radar, if they're causing enough trouble, they simply disappear one night and are never heard from again. And that's like a real story from someone who grew up in China.
I think that's absolutely right, Scorpio. Edward.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's a group of expats who've now left China. One was from South Africa, another's an American. And trying to think of the name of their video channel on YouTube. They've spent, I don't know, about 7 or 8 years in China, and they have they still have contacts there and a wealth of knowledge about China. And finally, they had to get out, and they got out just in time. They basically escaped. For a while there was some freedom in China. See, here's the problem with tyrannical governments, communist governments. They can loosen up their regulations and let people have a certain degree of freedom. And people think that, oh, okay, we're good to go. Well, in the snap of a finger, they can just change it overnight and decide to clamp down and take away those freedoms. See, here in the United States, we have a constitution which protects us from that kind of arbitrary action by the government. At least that's what it's intended to do. But this concept of executive orders, which I think are unconstitutional, where the president can, by the stroke of a pen, make something the law of the land, okay, without the deliberative body of the legislature voting on it, and then be able to enforce his own laws, well, that's the power of a king. And so, and that's what he has done. And so that's what they can do in China under their constitutional system, okay? But it is unconstitutional here in the United States. And we had that ruling out of Florida where the court ruled that this concept of requiring people to wear masks on airplanes, the president simply does not have that authority, okay? And in fact, even if you argue he did have the authority, he didn't even follow his own rules. He didn't follow the Administrative Procedures Act properly, and I think that's how the court ruled. I haven't yet read the opinion. But my understanding is that was the reasoning of the court. So he's a scofflaw, okay? If he can get away with it, he will. And here's the thing. I was talking with somebody just this morning, and they said, well, why is he appealing that decision when, in fact, they were going to lift it in 15 days anyway? Why? Because he doesn't want that precedent on the books, okay? And by the way, he wants to be able to reinstate it at his whim in the future. See, that's the concept here. The fact that he was going to lift it, he still has the authority to clamp it down. And by the way, we can thank President Trump for the state of emergency. With that state of emergency, it gives the executive branch all sorts of unconstitutional powers, okay, without the ordinary checks and balances. And that's the problem, is this state of emergency that was declared a medical state of emergency by President Trump. Thank him. Okay. And then we have somebody like Biden come in and instant tyranny. Edward, we should not have to rely on the good graces of our president, whether or not we live in freedom or tyranny. Okay. He should be the chief executive of the government, not the king. And that's the problem. Under our constitutional system, we have God-given rights that we are protected from the government. The government doesn't give us privileges. That's the way it is in China. In China, the government gives their people privileges. Here, we have God-given rights. If you read the Constitution, it's clear The Bill of Rights is not a granting of rights. It's a recognition of your God-given rights, and it tells the government, hands off. Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or interfering with your free exercise. It is a recognition of God-given rights. That's the difference. But the problem is we are pumping out people out of public schools that know nothing about the Constitution, the premise behind it, okay? And so guess what? It's like, okay, every generation it gets worse and worse. Who knew? Who knew that we would that there would be people in positions of authority who would think that it's okay for a man to compete with a woman in sports and say, hey, that's fair? Who would think such an outrageous thing? And that a man could be born a man and then later decide he wants to be a woman and that therefore he's a woman. Who would think that such a woman who's convicted of a man who's convicted of a crime and thinks he's a woman gets sent to a woman's prison? And who would not foresee that, in fact, the women in that prison would end up getting raped or who knows whether it was consensual? Bottom line is, in that instance, two of the women in that prison ended up pregnant from another woman. Okay? Who's not really a woman. He's a man. I mean, this is insanity. It's absolute insanity. Okay? No wonder we have people going along with this vaccine and taking a vaccine and wearing masks and so forth.
I think we agree with every word you said, Edward, and I'm increasingly disturbed by Trump's role in all of this and the lockdown, which had been catastrophic for the country, not rescinding the emergency, not even, you know, restoring the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948. There are a lot of things Trump could have done that he did not do that I find in retrospect profoundly troubling. Giuseppe.
That's a great point, Jim. I mean, it's hard to figure out Trump. He's either controlled opposition or he's a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest and doing everything to maintain his standing in power. And I don't know. I guess the bottom line, and I'd like to get Edward's thoughts on Trump for 2024, is to me, if he is truly taking on the deep state, they're going to kill him. If he's controlled opposition, they will allow him to be reelected in 2024. I think that's the bottom line. If he's really on our side at that level, they're not going to let him live. Your thoughts, Edward?
Well, all I can say is do not believe the people that come out and say, trust the plan. We have a plan. He's playing, you know, 4D chess. No, he's not. Okay. And this trust the plan is actually a strategy that was used by the communist intelligence after the Bolshevik Revolution in order to maintain the communists in power. And the concept was that they had certain generals and high former government officials who were going to help overthrow the communist government and to tell people, the Russian people, back off. Okay. Don't try to undermine the communists because we have a plan and you'll just get in the way. And so trust the plan. And by the way, that's what we have. That's what this Q thing is all about. They're telling people trust the plan. I saw a video the other day. It was hilarious. Okay. The first part of it was quite accurate. Excellent. And then the second part is basically making all kinds of outrageous claims about all the people that are arrested in Guantanamo Bay and have been executed for treason and so forth. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It completely undermined the first half, which talked about the human trafficking of children, which was quite accurate. And the whole concept was it discredited the reality of human trafficking in children. It discredited it because the second half was ridiculous. This idea that we have a plan and to the extent that Trump is going to lead this charge and take over the White House. Well, they've been saying that since Biden was elected, that in a couple months, we've got it all set up. He's going to retake the White House. No, he's not. This was an installation by the communists of their chosen puppet, Biden, okay, and he's clearly a puppet. The man's non-compass menace. He is out of his mind, and that's just the way they like him. The perfect puppet. Franklin Roosevelt, he was another perfect puppet. I mean, the man, he was wheelchair bound. They had complete control over him. You can go back to Woodrow Wilson, same thing. You know, they thought they could control Kennedy because he was so young, but they couldn't, and so they had to make an example out of him. Okay, so Biden has no chance of winning a reelection. In fact, he had no chance of winning this past one, but it was rigged. I mean, for goodness sakes, all you have to do is look at what Mike Lindell has come up with. And Mike Lindell, he has done a great job. But they have, I mean, the major media and even the minor media have blocked his revelations. Even Newsmax poo-pooed the rigging of the election by the Red Chinese, which was revealed by Mike Lindell. So, and by the way, getting to Trump, Trump just endorsed this guy, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz spoke favorably about the strategy of the Chinese in fighting COVID. He thought it was great what they were doing. Okay. Dr. Oz is part of the problem. And yet, what is Trump doing? He says he's a great guy and he endorsed him. Really? I know politics makes strange bedfellows, but just you've got to judge. People have to judge a tree by its fruit. It was Trump that declared the medical emergency. And Trump had an opportunity to get rid of Fauci. In fact, when he came in, he wanted to get rid of Fauci, but decided not to. In fact, he was going to appoint Robert F. Kennedy to some position, and Bill Gates revealed that he talked him out of it.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, those are some great points. And, you know, let's just look at, you know, the fact that, you know, they have the audacity to, you know, murder John F. Kennedy in broad daylight, you know, for all the world to see back in 1963. None of the perpetrators have been caught. None of them have been exposed. And so it stands by good logic that the cabal has grown much more powerful since that time. And the idea that we're going to have this, you know, this completely independent, you know, president like, Donald Trump is really sort of fallacious on its very face, given the context there in the history. And you know, let's look at all the red flags we have about Trump, you know. Not only did he declare the medical emergency, he's got Operation Warp Speed moving ahead, which is essentially getting the military involved in civilian affairs, which is extremely dangerous. And then now he's running around pushing the vaccine and the booster on people. And just look at Trump's background. To become a so-called billionaire in Manhattan, of all places, which is sort of one of the, you know, the central centers of control for this cabal, this Jewish cabal, and the fact that his daughter is a Chabad Lubavitch, you know, married to this Jared Kushner character. There's a lot of very bad red flags. And then there's even this video of Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, you know, with their arms around each other, you know, whispering in each other's ears and yucking it up. To me, that's a lot of red flags. And I just think, you know, we all want to see this great leader that's going to come save us. But I think we're past that point now. I don't think that any solution is going to come from within. It's going to have to come from people declaring their independence from this government and building new systems and new ways to live from the outside in and from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Well, the reason I don't believe Trump's actually an insider is because the establishment has fought so hard to defeat him. If Trump were actually a Trojan horse, then go with Trump. Let him be reelected. He's doing everything, and the Republicans and the conservatives and the good people of America believe in him, but they have not done that. They have fought tooth and nail. They're doing everything they can to disqualify him, including the phony January 6th. Using this obscure provision of the 14th Amendment, they participated in an insurrection. That is, in my opinion, the strongest argument why I don't think Trump is the kind of psyop that you are suggesting. I agree he's made these blunders. I don't like them either. But why the hell, if he was their guy, would they not just go with Trump? God knows he can be more effective than this brainless moron we have, this Biden fraud. So that's, I think, the strongest argument against your position, Scorpio.
Well, you make some good points, Jim, but I think, you know, to have a good WWF wrestling match, you have to have a villain. And that's, I think, the role they put Trump in. And I think, you know, unfortunately, if somehow Trump is reelected, I think Trump would make a very good wartime president. If you look at events that are shaping up now, he would be an excellent wartime president. And I think one of the contingency plans is to lead us into war. A so-called world war, and obviously Biden's not going to be able to do that. They need a strong leader, I don't think any solution is going to come from within, and it's hard to discount all the red flags about Trump, but I still respect your position, Jim.
Well, there's not going to be anything left of America in 2 years, even wait to 2024. If we had anything resembling an honest election, Trump would be a shoo-in. And I say that regardless of all these qualifications we're discussing, the public believes in him. There's no one else on the scene in America that has remotely the kind of loyalty and support of Donald J. Trump. Just simply.
I think that that Trump is the, as Wilbur Ross mentioned, on 60 Minutes back in the early 80s, when which is featured on Netflix, did a four-part documentary series about Trump each decade, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000. And in the 80s version, which I think is part two of the four-part series, they quote on 60 Minutes the Jew Wilbur Ross, who's a Federal Reserve banker, saying interviewed – saying we could have destroyed Trump at any point because he overextended, but, you know, we realize at some point he may become of great use to us. And so his great use is now being the controlled opposition. And I think that much like the brilliant play and movie Elmer Gantry, that Trump is – here we go. We're coming to the break. I'll continue hey, after.
We got a break. We'll be right back with Edward Henry. Stand by.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us complements of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the event. And we're going to open up the phone lines now, and the good professor will be back momentarily. And we actually have a caller, the legend, the man, the myth, Paul from California. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Paul?
Well, I took the chance that you might be taking calls, and I will ask whoever is controlling the button there not to dump me till I'm done with my little rant, which should be 3 to 4 minutes the most, and then I would have some questions afterwards. But I got to admit that I was a little disappointed and indeed slightly offended that the professor, Jim Fetzer, would take issue with anything that Ed Henry would say, but especially about RFK. I not only support what he said about RFK, but I would go further, okay? RFK has generational wealth. His children have generational wealth. This whole vaccine issue is a hideous war on us, okay? People are dying. Children are dying. Grown adults are dying. And to use the word credibility in this context, I find sickening and nauseating, okay? You either live in truth, speak the truth, and think about the truth, or you don't, okay? And if you're afraid to talk about the truth because of your credibility, you're a coward, and you don't deserve a forum. Every time I hear somebody like Mike Adams or Del Bigtree talk about, oh, I'm not the anti-vaxxer, I'm done. I don't want to hear anything more they have to say, okay? They may indeed not be fully informed, but if part of them, even the slightest molecule, is afraid that they're going to lose a certain percentage of the audience by saying that, they disgust me. They have no credibility in my mind. This idea that we have to somehow toe part of the Jewish party line in order to not offend other people or to not lose their interest, it's disgusting to me, okay? So if RFK really believes and really knows that all vaccines are total bunk and a complete war against us, which is what I believe, then, in my opinion, RFK is at the minimum duplicitous, okay? I know Ed is a good Christian and God-fearing man, and he knows the truth of what I say. You either speak the truth, you believe in the truth, and you stand for truth, or you don't, okay? My credibility is out the window decades ago. But guess what? I will never say anything to somebody, well, you get the vaccine if you like, it's your choice. Would you ever say that to somebody? No. But some of these people are saying such things. Oh, it's a matter, we want free choice. We don't want forced vaccination. Well, you know, that's like saying you can volunteer for it if you want.
And if somebody volunteers for it, they're going to get hurt, more than likely. So I would never say that. I've been estranged from friends and family. I've lost, the interest of many people by saying lots of things I've said over the decades. But guess what? I have a certain edge about me because I know I'm right. And I'm angry about the situation. So I'll leave it at that for that topic. Quickly on this whole demographic change and, you know, all the other stuff. I hate putting it in those terms. I know it's a polite way to say it, but we are in a racial war, okay? The Jews are waging a genocidal racial war against us. They can't do it on the battlefield with swords and shields, okay? And they historically have failed to ever do anything like that. But the bottom line is they are the most insidious, duplicitous, conniving, evil people that this earthly realm has ever known. And if you're afraid to speak the truth about the Jews, in my opinion, you need to give up your seat to somebody that does. Okay, one last quickly. Ed, earlier in the show, when you said something about inflated numbers for the vaccine, it reminded me of what I just recently relearned. I was actually taking in some more information about the whole women's rights and abortion issue. And come to find out that there was a big campaign to get people to believe that the American public supported abortion. And they actually lied to the American people with these phony polls saying that as high as 80% of the American public thought that women should be able to have abortion on demand, when the reality of it was less than 10% of the public thought that way. Okay. And here's a little fact. The greatest damage that has been done to our society was by the abortion decision. Immediately after that, not only short-term but long-term studies have shown that after abortion was freely available to women, the divorce rate went up, marriages went down, and childbirth went down. So basically what the Jews have succeeded in doing is getting women to believe that they can go out and have a career and have all kinds of childless sex, and that is just as beautiful a life and freedom as traditional marriage and family with a supporting husband. This is just simply the most godless thing I can think of. And I'll point out one little quick fact that I just recently relearned. I had forgotten it, but Bernard Nathanson, who produced the film, The Silent Scream, he was actually an abortionist, and he actually converted to Catholicism. And he was in support. He's actually one of the founding members of NARAL. Just like one of the little facts that the Jews keep hidden from us is that Jane Roe converted to Catholicism and became an outspoken opponent of abortion. So that's my say on the matter, and shame on you, Jim, for trying to take Ed to task for anything that he said so far on this broadcast.
Well, Paul, we give you plenty of time to speak, and we're going to drop you now because otherwise no one else will have a chance to say a word. Edward, would you like to reply to Paul? Drop Paul.
Fuck you, Jim.
Edward.
Yeah,
we got an echo here. I don't know why in the world we got a complete echo.
Yeah, we have an echo. I can hardly understand what you're saying there, Jim.
Hold on. Let me see if I can fix that.
It's the same at the whole show.
Does that, did that solve it?
I can hear you fine, Giuseppe.
No, we got an echo from Edward, too. Huh. Scorpio's disappeared.
He just is jumping back in. Oh, here, let me try something real quick and see if this will help. In the meantime, let's see.
Defend the Constitution. The Constitution, if it were followed, is just fine. If you read the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment, those encapsulate the concept behind our Constitution. So only if the constitutional limitations were followed, we'd be fine. Most of the legislation coming out of Washington and most of the executive orders are unconstitutional. Okay. These rulings by judges appointed by Democrats mostly that uphold these unconstitutional rulings are political decisions. And in fact, all you have to do is look at the Supreme Court's decision on Obamacare and you see how political it is. The Chief Justice actually, who wrote the opinion upholding Obamacare, actually was writing an opinion to overturn it when he had some kind of epiphany that said, hey, you know what? This does fall within the government's taxation power, even though it's a violation of the Interstate Commerce Clause. They do have the authority under the taxing power. And he ended up changing his mind and writing the majority opinion. It was somebody got to him, because after they announced the opinion, he left the country for 2 weeks. And so bottom line is every member of the federal government and state government takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And as far as Trump goes, Lenin said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves.
Yeah.
And what better way, okay, to get people to – it's almost – I view Trump as like a relief valve. It's a way for people to vent their dissatisfaction with the tyranny of government by saying, Trump will fix it for us. And then when he gets in, he doesn't. He doesn't. Okay. So example, the vaccine. Do you realize that Trump, he was very suspicious of vaccines causing autism. And yet, what do we have when he becomes president? Is he concerned about autism? No. He institutes Operation Warp Speed. Okay?
Ed, we get it. We get it. Scorpio, I want to have yours, and then I'll go to Basel. Your thoughts, Scorpio.
Well, yeah, you know, it's making some great points, but you know, Ed, I disagree with you somewhat on the Constitution. You know, the Constitution has things in it like the Necessary and Proper Clause. There's several, you know, loopholes inside the Constitution that you can drive a truck through, and you might want to look into Mike Gatti's research, the Rebel Madman, Mike Gatti. He's sort of an expert on this, and that's a whole other rabbit hole to go down into. But I would just kind of urge everyone to look at Mike Gatti's research in the Constitution.
Let me just real quick, now that you mentioned the Necessary and Proper Clause, let me make a point. And that is, necessary and proper means just that. What the Supreme Court has done is redefined the terms necessary and proper. It's a conjunction. You have to have both. And said, if there's a rational basis for the law, then you're good to go. No, you're not. It has to be both necessary and proper. Our founding fathers knew the English language, and they knew what was meant by words. So simply because the Supreme Court has twisted it to mean something it was never intended to mean, doesn't mean there's something wrong with the Constitution itself.
Good, good, good. Basel, please join the conversation. Basel Valentine, yes.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. Great to hear you.
Yeah, likewise. A few points. First of all, RFK, he's very useful, in my opinion. And the fact that he's not an out-and-out anti-vaxxer shouldn't be held against him. I think it was very brave of him to produce that book about Fauci. And battles are won by coalitions. You know, we can't all be in the doctrinaire vanguard of the ideologically pure. And someone like RFK, who has tremendous wider credibility, or at least greater wider credibility through his familial associations than the vast majority of other people speaking out against the official narrative, is an extremely useful ally. I've no doubt that we would all disagree with him on multiple subjects. But if you can engage a normaloid and say to them, did you know, dot, 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 Robert Kennedy. He's not somebody that can be dismissed in the way that a David Icke or, you know, all sorts of other people can easily be dismissed as some kind of nutty conspiracy theorist. So, you know, we're in a battle. We're in a war. And, you know, to repeat the point, wars are won by coalitions. As Giuseppe said, we're not going to agree about everything. People don't agree about everything within the same political party. We know that. Wildly differing opinions. We don't have a political party, but we do have an intellectual coalition. And that intellectual coalition is going to go absolutely nowhere unless we're prepared to make common cause with people with whom we have shared views about the absolutely crucial things like the dangers of the current round of injections.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent comments, Basel. I'd just like to add in relation to Paul's rant, I believe Roe v. Wade was one of the wisest decisions ever rendered by the Supreme Court, and I do not see it as part of a Jewish conspiracy. Paul is absolutely dominated by that thought. He's a megalomaniac. When he gets on the air, he's got to control the conversation, which is why I gave him the boot. He said his piece, and if he remained on, none of us would get a chance to get a word in edgewise. Scorpio, back to you.
Well, yes, I think it's a good point about, you know, having a coalition. And, you know, you can't be too much of a purist, in my opinion, because then you're going to have a really small tent with hardly anybody in it. You know, and at least these people that are in the mainstream that won't go all the way, they act as a good sort of recruiting ground, let's say, for lack of a better term, to bring people over to our side. And we don't even know what Robert F. Kennedy might think in private that he's not willing to say publicly because of his position and because of the fact that, you know, a lot of his family members have been bumped off, you know, including his own father. So, you know, I think we should be careful in being too judgmental. And at least these people are going far enough down the road to sort of lead the average normie into a new way of thinking.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think we have to, we were all ignorant at one time. We have to sort of progress at our own speed, and yeah. Everybody has to sort of have realizations gradually. You can't jump into this research and go to the ultimate conclusion overnight. It's just because the reality is just too bizarre from what we've been trained to believe.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And Bobby is helping to educate the public, and because of who he is as a son of RFK, whom I admired beyond words, he's making an impact, selling a million books, attacking Fauci. That is sensational. Edward.
Yeah, did I hear you correctly? You thought that Roe versus Wade was a good decision?
Oh, yes, 100%. Yeah.
Okay,
but
well,
that's for another time, Ed, and I don't like when someone like Paul calls in and dumps everything out of his garbage truck. I don't like that. So we'll leave that for another day, but I wanted to put it on the record because I think he's a little wacko in that regard.
Well, let me just make a point regarding that. You recall the Dred Scott decision. You would not say that was a good decision, would you? Because
no.
the premise of Dred Scott is exactly the same premise of Roe versus Wade. If you recall, in Dred Scott, the Supreme Court decided that a former slave is not protected by the Constitution. That is, they're not fully human and do not have the rights in the Constitution.
I don't want to go there, Ed. If you don't believe in a woman's right to abortion, you want to turn women into reproductive slaves. I will not stand for that.
Well, my point is that the unborn.
I don't want to discuss it here, Ed.
You raised it, so I'm going to address it.
This is so distracting. You have so many excellent points to make about our current subjects. I don't care to go there because we would have a very heated, obviously strenuous disagreement. I don't want to waste the time on it.
Well, I don't think it's a waste of time. I just want to make a final point, and that is that that same premise is the premise behind Roe versus Wade. That is, the unborn child is not fully human and therefore does not have constitutional rights. That's the point.
This is a point of ontology. At what point does a developing fetus acquire the right of personhood? You must know that. The Supreme Court wisely decided it was at the point of viability, that prior to that, this is a special kind of private property that deserves certain protections, but does not have the right of a citizen. Now, Ed, I have argued this in so many different contexts. It would be elaborate. I just don't want to waste the time on it now.
Well, now that you mentioned viability, a child after being born is not viable either. If you put that child aside the child would die.
Edward, why can't you follow my lead on this, for Christ's sake? I've been very generous to you. I praised you on a dozen scores. I've told you this is the wrong way to go, and you want to push it? Viability means the equivalent to being able to live outside the intrauterine environment.
Without
That's
care.
What it means. Well, Ed, why the hell are you doing this? I got Giuseppe and Scorpio for this show and one more. I don't want to waste time on abortion. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, it's certainly a heated topic, and I think that literally even Paul's opinion, all the opinions weave the tapestry of the complete narrative that's going on. But I think the most vital point was made by Basil, which is we need a coalition to defeat the synagogue of Satan in this effort to destroy the sovereignty of the nation states and create this great reset, this build back better, with the small bees representing the 666 for their Kabbalistic satanic intentions. And so I think that in the final minutes, Jim, we should survey everyone, including yourself, on the discussion that what does everybody see coming now for the summer and then going into the next cold, flu, pneumonia pick season?
Well, let's begin with Basil. Basil made a very valuable contribution. I want to give him another bite at the apple. Basil, your thoughts?
Well, the next thing I was going to talk about is Giuseppe makes the point, the sovereignty of the nation state, but which is important, of course, but it's the sovereignty of the individual that's right on the line at the moment. I don't know if you saw that WHO pandemic response document that the White House published a few days ago, which included the phrase amongst the objectives was getting shots into arms, you know. And it's our own inalienable rights to decide what we put in our bodies. That's, you know, the single most important thing. You know, we've won a few battles over here. I know you have over there against the mandates. Unfortunately, we're in a situation rather akin to a JFK or 9/11 with the propaganda, the black propaganda war in favor of the vaccines, whereby even though there's mounting evidence that they are A, completely useless, if not B, actually counterproductive when stopping COVID. Over 90% of COVID deaths in the UK are amongst the at least double or triple jabbed, whereas we've discovered in the last week or so that only 2/3 of the population have had 2 or 3 jabs. 20 million people in Britain have not had a jab at all, myself included. So if only 2/3 of the population are double or triple jabbed and they represent, make up over 90% of the deaths in hospital, they are worse than useless. But we have no reportage of this in the mainstream media, just as the facts around JFK and 9/11, all these other events are similarly obscured. And what's more, it's still a heresy even to bring the subject up. And that's quite apart from the blood clots and the athletes dropping dead and all the rest of it. So, you know, our focus, as far as I'm concerned, needs to be on, you know, whatever levers we can get our hands on to push back against the injections. Don't dignify them with the term vaccination. Just call them the toxic garbage that they are. Ed made the point. It's just high-tech quackery. That's all it is. If necessary, let's reclaim the term anti-vaxxer. I shied away from it 12 months ago, you know, when I refused it, and I'm not vaccine hesitant. Now I'm willing to embrace the term anti-vaxxer. Too bloody right, I'm anti-vax. Absolute useless, dangerous rubbish. So we've got to go on the counteroffensive about that. Final word, Trump is a busted flush. He's of no more use to the cabal. He might be used as a Pied Piper to sort of get patriots dancing off in a completely pointless direction. And my outside bet for the next president of the United States were twofold. One, Obama. Apparently there's a loophole in the Constitution, which means he could be parachuted in for the last couple of years of Biden's presidency. And other than that, I'm afraid to say, I think they might pick Nikki Haley for all the wrong reasons.
No, I think you're mistaken on both counts there, Basil, but I've been delighted with your contributions. Edward, 2 minutes, Edward.
Yeah, I like Basil's point that the anti-vaxxers become a pejorative and they try to beat us over the head with it. But I agree with Basil. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being anti-vax. They try to segue people into using the term vaccine hesitant. How clever is that? So yep. basically, I'm hesitant to get the vaccine, but I'll eventually get it.
Yeah.
So try to get people to kind of prod them along. Like, oh, maybe they take a little convincing. No. Anti-vax. I'm against vaccines of all kinds.
Yeah.
Any kind.
Yeah.
Scorpion.
And by the way, on religious grounds as well.
Right.
Scorpio, 2 minutes.
Well, it's been a great show, and Ed, I want to thank you for coming on, and we really enjoy your thinking and your conclusions. And, you know, I just think that thinking that anybody within the political system is going to solve this is fallacious, unfortunately, and we're just going to see a merry-go-round of problems until people realize that this federal government is indeed the enemy. And it's not reformable at this point. And that's sort of what really, if you think about it, that's what the Civil War was actually fought over, not slavery. And here we are again today facing the same problem.
Giuseppe.
I want to thank Edward Henry. I'm just a complete admirer of Ed's work, which can be found at greatmountainpublishing.com. And I want to thank Basil, who's doing phenomenal work with Patrick Henningsen and the 21st Century Newswire crew. And want to thank you, Jim, and thanks, Scorpio. It was an enjoyable show, and we'll be back next Wednesday for one final Rev Radio appearance on the I guess the final event. I think Jim, you're probably going back to the raw deal after that. And so what's great is we need to really maintain our decorum as mature adults, and we can have these discussions about anything if we do act yeah. like adults and discuss anything. And that's the farce.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.